Welcome to the Boxing Life podcast. On this episode, I've got my former trainer, Bobby Rimmer, and former British light middleweight champion, Brian Rose, who's a very good friend of mine, who's in the boxing game now. And we talk about Brian's career, but we always also talk about social media, how boxers should be using social media to promote themselves. And we also get deep into the damage that boxing's doing, and I asked Brian about if he feels the effect of boxing, and yeah, we get very personal on this podcast. If you enjoy this show, please leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps the show. Here it is, the Boxing Life podcast with me, Tony Jeffries, Glenn Holmes, Bobby Rimmer, and Brian Rose.
Welcome to the Boxing Life podcast. Where we talk about everything from boxing to business.
Fighting Manny Pacquiao is an experience. It's not a fight.
Mindset to money.
I think any business, you have to make it someone's third place.
Speaking to some of the world's most interesting people.
So that would be considered an example of a biohack, where I'm hacking my biology.
From Sutherland, England, now living in Los Angeles, California.
You put him in the ring with me in his day, and I'm talking his best day, and I'm 50 right now. I will knock him out.
Here's your host, 2008 Olympic medalist and former undefeated professional boxer, Tony Jeffries.
Welcome to the Boxing Life podcast with me, Tony Jeffries. On today's episode, got some great guests. Got Mr. Brian the Lion Rose. Brian, how's it going, mate?
Good, mate. Not seen you for years, so it's good to be over here and spending some time with you and seeing your gym and seeing what it's all about. It's
nice
good.
Nice one, mate. Nice one. Alongside him, Bobby Rimmer. Bobby's been on the podcast before. Bob, how's it going?
Yeah, it's good, mate. It's good. It's great. Everything's good.
So this mic, this is what you're supposed to talk to me, mate.
Everything's good, yeah.
So
yeah,
Bobby's been on the podcast before. Bobby, my former trainer as a professional, when I was a professional fighter. Great episode we've done before. And then Glenn, Mr. Six-Figure Holmes on the left there.
Down to five now.
Down to five figures.
Yeah, really, yeah. That's going down, yeah.
He bought someone a present.
Yeah, so Brian.
Is this the first time you've been in this gym?
Yeah, it's the first time. I feel like I've been in it before because I see lots of videos on Instagram and stuff. So, but yeah, it's amazing setup. It's really good.
Nice one. So, Brian, let's start off for people who don't know who you are. Let's talk about yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Everyone knows where I am, mate.
That's true.
No,
in Blackpool.
I'm Brian Lion Rose. I had 90 amateur fights. I was 7 times national champion. Bronze medal at the Europeans, where you got gold, Jaff.
Yep.
Boxer England over 20 times, and turned pro when I was 20. Won a Central Area, English, British, WBO Intercontinental Champion. Fought a final eliminator for the world title, and then a challenge for the world title in New York, which was probably my greatest achievement.
Right. And you would see fighting for the world title was your greatest achievement?
It's hard to say because it is a great achievement. The way I did it, you know, I wasn't took as a challenger. I was actually mandatory for that title. So I was like number one challenger for a world title. So for me, that is a great achievement. But at the same time, I've got a Lonsdale belt at home that I own outright, which again is a big achievement for me, as I can pass it down to my little kids.
Would you swap the Lonsdale belt for that fighting for that world title?
No, definitely. I got punched. I got my head punched in.
to be fair, we went the old way, didn't we? You know, instead of like jumping straight in at an intercontinental title, we went the old way. Like I wanted him to do. We went Central Area champion, English champion, then British title. Then he won that and defended it 3 times in 12 months.
Yeah,
and won it outright in 12 months. So. Then we went for the WBO Intercontinental and then an eliminator for the world title. Not a lot of people do that anymore.
Right.
You kind of, you know, some people overstep the British title and get a WBO Intercontinental or an IBF Intercontinental, what puts them in the world rankings, and then sometimes you get a shot at the world title. But we went the old way, and I find that was so much better for Brian.
Yeah.
You know, it was just unlucky for us that we come up against Demetrius Andrade for the world title. He was probably one of the best out there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he still is.
He is. And it was hard for him because he was a little bit unheard of at the time, you know. Yeah. It could have been anyone. It could have been Mayweather. I'd rather have got my head punched in by Mayweather than Andrade, because at least it would go down in history that I fought, you know, the best ever.
Well, Andrea, he boxed in the World Championships in Chicago in 2007. That's where I qualified for the Olympic Games. And he won gold, right?
Yeah, he did.
And I might be wrong, but I'm sure he got boxed for the tournament as well.
Yeah.
And he was unbelievable, unbelievable talent. Yeah. And it's crazy how you've just said there, and he's kind of unheard of. He's not a household name.
No, even though
he's that talented.
It's like lose-lose, isn't it? You beat him, and it's like, oh, who have you beat?
But exactly.
You know what it was? He was like on the cusp of greatness, wasn't it? And then he left. He left his team.
It was Banner Promotions.
Yeah, he left Banner Promotions at Palula. And he signed with J-Rock, are they called, which was...
Oh, the Jay-Z firm.
Jay-Z firm, yeah.
Rockefeller.
And it all went like tits up for him. And I think he was out of the ring fighting lawyers and all that for like 12 months or something like that.
Andre Ward signed with that J-Rock as well, didn't it? Nothing really happened.
No, and he seemed to lose his memento, right. You know what I mean?
So he was just supposed to fight Billy Joe Saunders, but that fell through.
Yeah.
That would have been a great fight.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about boxing. I mean, if Mayweather wasn't a flashy bastard the way he is and flashing his money and great on the camera, you know, he would be unheard of outside of the boxing world. But because he's got that charisma and not that the way he is, and he's a great businessman. And now that I'm out of boxing, I see that, and that's why me and you've been talking, Brian, about building your social media presence and how important that is for boxing as well. And I think, because when you're boxing like you are now, and when I was as well, it's like you don't really concentrate on that stuff so much. You concentrate on the training and that. But then you get fighters that do concentrate on that. I feel like they're just building their name and obviously helping sell tickets. Like, I know you know him, that... Anthony Fowler from
Liverpool.
He's
never off.
He's never off social media.
Like you was the same.
Yeah,
you was the first fighter I ever knew with your own website.
Yeah, I was the first one on the England boxing team. I was telling all the lads to get it because I realised that as a boxer, I'm a brand.
You are the reason I got Twitter. I remember, I was definitely the first out of my friends to have Twitter, but I was one of the first to have it. Like, I've had it for years.
Right, and you've got to do that as a boxer. You've really got to promote yourself. I believe as a brand, as a business, because you are your business. And like the quote that Jay-Z says, like, "I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman," meaning he is the business.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, and. I think that's a thing where a lot of fighters miss out on, you know?
I think a good example of that right now is Chris Eubank Jr. I mean, people are still doubting whether he can hold it at that level that he's at now. And it's, you know, people not considering like a great. So it's not like he's letting his fighting do the talk or he's beating really top-notch people. The thing that's making him stand out and appeal is like he's got a whole brand behind him. You know, he's got ITV pay-per-view deal.
Yeah.
He's got this gimmick.
ITV pay-per-view.
He's outspoken.
Can you believe
doing
it?
All this stuff. He's putting himself out there. But so he's getting himself into positions for big fights.
A funny story. I remember when you said get on that Twitter and I got on it. I remember ringing our Robert and I said, "Hey, I've just got on that Tweedle." And he went, "What are you on about, Tweedle, you dick?"
Sometimes Tweedle. Sometimes I think with fighters, you've either talking about the shit talking, you've either got that in you or you haven't got it.
It's hard to do if you don't.
I mean, Brian, you know, if you start mouthing off and being a big mouth, that you get more popular, but at the same time,
people hate
you. You couldn't do it. It's not you,
of course. And I've not portrayed myself on that. I've portrayed myself as a nice lad, you know, down to earth. Mm. Have a picture of anyone sort of guy. That's what I am.
Yeah.
You know? So if I change now, I'd be
daft, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, it's too late to change.
Yeah.
So I would never be able to do that. You know, I might call the odd person out if I really wanted to fight, but.
Yeah.
I'd never badmouth anyone. I'm not like that.
Yeah, but with the social media and educating yourself on that and how to build your own brand on there, you can build yourself without having to be the dickhead who's calling people.
Yeah, of course.
And edgy and all that.
Yeah. You know? I mean, social media is fantastic, isn't it? I mean, there's a good part and there's a bad part, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? It's like you're letting dickheads in your front room, aren't you, sometimes?
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're letting people into your life.
it's giving like people a platform to have opinions now.
Yeah,
well, of course.
Well, you're letting people
you
into,
see how many
into
fucking idiots are. Yeah.
You let people in to see what they want to see, so you can put what you want out there.
That's why I avoid putting on anything outspoken. You know, I don't. Right. I try not even to have an opinion on fights because I just think I can't be harsh.
You had one last night.
What? Yeah, I did, to be fair.
Did you get any shit last night?
Yeah, did Kettle Black, they put, when I said he was punchy.
When I said he doesn't seem to be able to hold a shot, someone come on, put Kettle Black, I thought.
I mean, he can't hold a shot now.
So I was going to delete it, and I just thought, why have I put that on? I hate being controversial for that reason.
Do you know... I'm sure you've got had a lot of shit over the years, just off people in general. People's harder now than ever because now they've got a computer to hide behind. You know, people are cases. What's some of the worst shit you've had? Is there anything that really stands out in your mind? What really?
I've had people threatening to brick my missus at fights. Next time they see me at a fight, and that
I had someone threatening to rape my daughters.
Really?
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I won't say. Well, it's just
name.
No. I won't say his name. But someone was trying to get a fight with Brian, and then his family or somebody else came on,
right,
and sent me a message, and they put, if you don't make this fight, we're going to come and rape your daughters.
Bloody hell!
Fucking hell.
You know, but I've had
like the worst of the worst.
I've had real funny ones, like when he got beat in New York off Andrade. Someone put, how can Bobby Rimmer be a big good coach? He's got bigger tits than me, man.
I've had some belts.
And I was like, when I opened it, I was on the plane coming up, when I got off it, and I was gutted, you know what I mean, because he got beat, and I was devastated. And I come back on my own, and I turned my phone on at Manchester and seen it. And you know what? It made me laugh. I thought, that's a fucking belter, do you know what I mean? I thought, well done, you know what I mean? I love that.
I've had a good one. When I got stopped by Carson Jones in the first round, I kept going on about it because I was like, he shouldn't have been stopped, you know, and I kept drumming on about it for a couple of days on Twitter
and everything
else, any social media. I was like, he should never have been stopped. And then some guy come on, put, you know, the frozen thing, let it go. And it just killed me off. But you know what, I need to stop going on about it.
I think people like you now who've got on it who can absolutely market yourself for it, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a master at it now. I mean, you and I'm just thinking about the same for when I go back home. Because I've never put on, you know, Twitter about what I've done, what I haven't done and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But, I mean, if there's going to be a life after boxing for me, it's going to be personal training and stuff like that, and racing pigeons, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what it's going
to
be.
And now you've got this platform to really use.
And I've never thought about it. I've never thought about it like that, because I've thought it's always been for the boxers.
Right. Talking about life after boxing, so Brian, you've had 36 fights, right?
Yeah.
5 losses?
Yeah.
Is that right? I was just looking at it. And you're 34, you're same age as me, same age as James De Gea last night.
Are you a bit older than me, though? A little bit.
No?
Are you not?
I'm 33.
No, you're not.
I am.
Oh, yeah.
My birthday's on Saturday.
He just looks 43. Just had an hard life.
So, yeah.
He's not even had as many fights.
So, now you've got 2 kids and...
One on the way.
I don't know if that was announced, but one on the way as well. Yeah. So, like, now where's your head at? You've lost a couple of close fights that you shouldn't have really lost. And... obviously, the money's not going to be there. I don't know how much you're earning, what you were at one point. So where's your head at right now with that?
If I'm honest, I mean, you shouldn't say this just in case promoters are listening, but I'm not doing it for the money. You know, the money will come. I'm doing it for no regrets. And I know you can be against that sometimes because you're all about getting paid, you know. If you're fighting, you want to get paid. But for me, I don't want no regrets from boxing. I've worked too hard for me to look back at 40 years old and think, you know, I still had 2 arms and 2 legs. I've still got fire in my belly. I'm still training harder than I've ever trained, which means I've still got that heart. Because they say it goes in the gym, you know when it's over, and I just don't believe it is. You know, I honestly think I'll get back to my best.
Not trying to sound horrible, but James De Gale said that exact same thing. Like, he's trained, and then we seen him fight against Eubank Jr. last night, and he got beat off someone that he would never got beat off, like a few years ago, you know, and he's the same age as us as well.
Yeah, but I know what you mean, but maybe you've seen that, you know, maybe in sparring and training, he never felt that good. But
you don't thinking, you don't know the camp's gone, do you?
Yeah, he was maybe thinking one last payday, you know.
Right.
I've lied loads of times. I've had the worst camps ever, and at the end of it gone, I had the best camp I've ever had. You've probably done it yourself.
Yeah,
you've got to. You talk shit, don't you? You don't want your opponent thinking that you've had the worst camp ever.
Sounds bad that you've saying that. I used to train you both.
No, but you know what I mean? You've had injuries. Injuries and stuff that you lie about, but then when you get in there, you're not at your fittest, so...
How many fights would you say you've been in the ring feeling 100%, like completely injury free?
If I'm honest, probably three or four.
Yeah.
Three or four. And it shows in my performances.
Yeah. Three or four where you've not been.
Second Carson Jones fight. The world title fight, I probably felt at my best, but I froze a little bit on the big stage. It was a massive thing for me to fight for a world title. Coming out, cameras in my faces, it was just hard, you know. I was like a rabbit in headlights.
Yeah.
So probably three or four times I felt 100%.
The other thing as well is that, what, going back to the Twitter thing, people giving shit and all that, they don't know what you've gone through in camp. They don't know what you're feeling minute that first bell goes, and then during the fight as well, they don't know what's happening.
Well, most of them have never been it.
Why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that? Why is he not moving? It's like you don't know what he's going through.
Yeah, it's like when you see when you see these fighters that get hurt, and you and people that abuse them on Twitter, and they're badly, seriously hurt. Yeah, they're putting their lives on the line to feed the families.
Yeah,
like I am. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, I see it a different way. I see it a different way. I think the first thing to go from a fighter is his dedication. I think when a fighter is kind of getting to the end of his career, I think he starts to cut corners. So to tell you what happened, I was over there in America, and Brian called me and said, look, I want to have another go. We hadn't fell out, but we wasn't seeing eye to eye, was we?
No.
We'd fell out. We just didn't speak to each other for a bit, that was all it was. And then Brian called me over here and he asked me, he said, look, I really want to have another go. So I said, why? He said, because I don't want to think, when I'm 40, thinking I should have given it another go. He said, I really feel like I want to do it.
Right.
So for me, you know, it's up to me now to tell him the truth, like I've always done. Like, you know, so I said to him, right, well, you know, you need to commit, because for 2 years he was getting married and he was building a gym, so he wasn't committing in the gym like he should have been, was you? You know, there was times when it should have been, you know, things.
To be honest, I tried training in my gym and people.
We was training in the gym.
Trying to sign memberships and stuff while I was doing bar bag.
We was in the gym one day training, and a parcel bloke's coming. He's had to stop training and I took the parcel off the bloke. So that's where we was at. So I wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with it all. So what I said was, I said, right, well, come to America with me. So that's the first commitment, innit?
Yeah.
You know, leave your wife, leave your two kids, and come to America and train with me.
Zone out.
And he went, yeah, I will. And everything I've asked him to do since we've been here, in the training and the boxing, he's done.
Right.
And last week, I murdered him last week. His legs, yesterday, how sore have you been?
I couldn't walk.
He couldn't walk. But he's doing it. So for me, right, okay.
I think the first thing that you said, the dedication, I feel like the first thing that goes from a fighter is your reactions and your timing. I don't know if you've felt them slow down a little bit.
If I'm honest, I've never relied on my reactions. I would rely on a tight defence, so I might be all right there. For me, I think holding a shot goes, you know, like the Gale last night, I just felt... Every time he was touched, he was wobbling.
But that's
he was sometimes throwing punches and falling over, and it's just not him.
That's what I'm saying. If you've not done it, if you've not done everything you should do in the gym,
right,
that's going to happen.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. If you're not going to train, if you're not going to give 100% in the gym, when you get in that ring, and that's when it got. That's when it. You know.
Yeah.
You know, like just going back to the fight last night, the difference for me was the fast twitch muscles just weren't there.
Yeah,
everything's like, it looks like it's going through water. It's labored, it's pushed.
See, I think
Junior is coming. He's coming in the jab. It bumps, it's snapping. Yeah.
Single shots as well. Yeah, single boom, shots. Yeah. And then he usually throws flurries, like threes and fours. Yeah, that's how he fights.
Yeah.
He was relying on a big left hand to finish the fight.
It looked like he was just touch and grabbing, wasn't he? And you know what I thought? I thought he got hurt early on.
Well, on the second, you're right.
Yeah, I think he got hurt early on, and he thought, "Wow."
Because the first round, he was good, and
he thought maybe that shot wouldn't have hurt him a couple of years ago, and he thought, "Wow, do you know what I mean? What's that?" And that's good.
I didn't think Eubank Jr. would have power to hurt him as well, because he fought Badu Jack, who's miles bigger than him, and he went toe to toe with him, had a war with him for 12 rounds. I'm like, there's nothing Eubank Jr. can do coming up from.
See, I look at Eubank Jr. and think he's strong. I do think he's
very strong, but I just don't think he's up there with the elite. I really don't.
No, I don't.
You know, it's easy for me to say that, and I don't claim I am, but my opinion is I just don't think he belongs.
Such a bad fight, wasn't it, as well? Do you know, it wasn't a great fight, was it?
I think De Gea made it sloppy, because like you see, he got hurt early, and you know, it was a shame. So talking about your career, Brian, and you said there, like, you don't want any more regrets, right? I get that, but would you regret it if it doesn't work, or if something happens, like you get beat off someone you shouldn't have got beat off, or would you be satisfied then to hang them up? Or I'm not telling you to fucking hang them up.
No, no.
You know where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no, I know exactly where you're coming from. I'd be gutted if I lost to someone that I shouldn't, you know, but I wouldn't be as gutted as I would be quitting now and having those regrets.
Really?
So it means more to me to give it a go than losing to some journeyman.
Right.
Because I know if I get beat by that journeyman, then it is gone. And that's all. I just want answers.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
See, if it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I can sleep at night knowing that I've given my best.
If it's gone, it's gone. There's not anyone can do. So, you know, we can't get that back, can you?
I sound like the right dick here. Would some fighters...
Fuck off, Jaff.
No, I'm on stop.
I might just get on the next flight home, mate.
What's he trying to get at, Bryce?
Sat here.
No.
He's gone red and all for a bit. He's after something.
I'm only joking.
He's after another trainer here.
He is. Do you want me to move here?
No, because I'm really fascinated now, and I'm really, Glenn knows, like, I'm obsessed with the mental brain health.
No, I know that. I know.
Boxes and all that.
And we're short staffed here. So.
I'm not paying the rent in this gym, though.
We need
day.
We need someone to wash all them dirty hands. No. Do you think that's what a fighter should do? I should ask you this as well, Bobby. Do you think they should wait until they've gone, like we're talking about, and then stop, or should they stop before they're gone?
Well, think about this. Brian's two fights that he regrets was Matthew Macklin and Jack Armfield. Now, them two fights could have gone either way. They was that close. Do you know what I mean? Really, really close fights.
The Macklin fight was a great fight.
Let's stop saying Brian, let's say a fighter. So if a fighter's coming to the end of his career and he gets knocked out,
yeah,
and then he gets knocked out again, and then he gets beat up, well, you kind of know, don't you? But he's lost two really, really close fights that would have propelled him back into the big time. Very close on points decisions, what could have gone either way. So he's not been beat up or been knocked out or been hurt bad. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, so that's why he feels like he's still got, you know.
What I'm saying is, have we got to wait for that to happen before?
No, not at all.
Because we see some fighters like Roy Jones just kept on going on and on and on and on. Like, he lost it a long time ago. Like, when is the right time? And I'm not telling you to retire or anything. But when is the right time to retire? When it's gone?
I won't. Before it's I gone? Won't let that happen.
I think it's the person you are. If you love boxing, I love training. I love the routine of it. It helps me get up every day, and makes me happy. And as long as I can still do it and make money from it, why not train for a reason? And I know you're going to say there's other ways of making money, but
that's what we're getting at.
I just love getting in the ring. I love the feeling of the nerves, winning. I love winning.
And listen, I told him before we started this camp, if it's not going to work, I'll tell him.
Yeah.
And I'll walk away.
Right.
I'll go, listen, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's it. And he knows that. That's what we talked about.
Fuck that, Jaffa Bry.
So,
so Brian's on the Instagram live now. What's these people saying? Anything?
There's one that says "fuck that Jaffa, Bri."
That's it.
Hatton is the perfect example of what you're saying, Bri.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. He's not.
He had to go through it to find out.
Follow
me,
your mind.
But he's not been beat up.
Mm. Yeah,
he's lost two close decisions. What would have propelled him back to?
Listen, don't get me wrong. If I'd have been stopped by Macklin, if I'd have been hurt by any of them, or you know, lost convincingly on points, I would have called it a day. I'm not one of these deluded fighters that keep going at you know.
So with Macklin, where he was at his career and where I was like, this Brian will piss this fight.
Yeah,
Jack Arnfield. Brian's way more talented than
Yeah.
He'll piss this fight. And then you're having tough, close fights with them boys. It's like,
but what you've got to remember is what he was like in the gym.
Right.
He didn't train properly for the fights.
Right.
And I'm not one of them trainers.
I don't believe in my middleweight either. I don't believe. I won everything.
Oh, I like middleweight.
I like middleweight. And there's not. I hate the excuses. You know, looking back on the Macklin fight, I had an operation straight after that because my elbow was. Hyperextension on my elbow, so I had an operation after that. So I needed that before the Macklin fight.
And we're not taking anything away from Macklin.
It was good. Yeah, it was good money. So there's no way I could have pulled out of that fight. The Jack Arnfield fight was good money. That fight should never have happened. Right. You know, we were two best friends. Eddie and wanted to see the fight, and he got it. You know, right. But he didn't get much of a fight because we were two best friends.
Right.
That's why we didn't fight.
That was a shit.
Got
fight
in there.
All,
it was just a shit
like
fight.
Like a big sparring session. Eddie Earn was devastated because he looked like he'd been robbed.
Well, he had, and
cost him a few quid.
He was disappointed. But when you set two fighters up to expect fireworks, sometimes you don't get it.
Right. Yeah. So all this talk, I'm talking. Obviously, you're my boy. I love you. I've knew you since you were like 14, 15. We won the schoolboys together.
Yeah.
Travel around the world and all that stuff. So yeah, I want nothing but success for you, and that's why I'm willing to help you with whatever I can. Yeah. I know now you've got a gym, which is great, and I think one of the best things you could have done is open a gym, because now you've got something set in stone for after boxing. And one thing that boxers say, and I get why they say it, but I don't believe it, is like, I can't think about boxing after I can't think about life after boxing while I'm still boxing.
No, you can't do that. You've got to think.
But I think if you've got that in the back of your mind, it's a smart thing, because you're being realistic. Like, your career, you could walk or even smash your ankle and
Career can end in a heartbeat.
After 10 fights, age 26, 27, my career ended. So I had things planned, like properties and other shit. But I think it's a smart move, and I think it's good that you've got your gym right now.
It's more of an insurance policy, isn't it? Rather than
if I retire from boxing now, I know I'll always earn money. That's what you're trying to say. Because if I could book myself out PTs at my gym and earn money every single day.
Yeah.
But I'm not in the position, so that's why I'm only in there once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Doing the PTs, because I actually enjoy doing that, and I enjoy meeting new people.
Yeah.
So I think PTing is a perfect job for me.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And yeah, I think you'll do well with that, and having your own gym is a big thing. Working now, getting more educated on social media, how to build your brand is the only thing. So what does your missus think about you continuing the fight? And
she's just happy for me to follow my dreams. She's always said that when you're ready to, she supports me so much. She's found it hard in the past, but she understands it, and she knows this is the last chapter. This is the last.
Yeah.
Listen, if I get beat on a close decision against anyone else, it's over, it's done.
Yeah.
I can't put myself through this anymore. Like I said, I'm doing it for no regrets, and I can only pick myself up and go again so many times.
Yeah.
I've done it too many times, so this is the last chapter.
He's looking for answers, aren't you? And hopefully the answers will be there.
So just looking forward for a minute, you're out here now, you've been training in Orange County.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How long are you out here for? When do you go back to England?
We go back on the 19th of March, and he's
I can't say yet, but I'm looking to fight early April.
I have got
something. Yeah, it's not happening.
This
that
is an English title.
Yeah, it's not happening.
That's
now.
Next. That's the day we get home. Yeah, I don't think it'll be that one, do you?
But yeah, it's going to be about 2 or 3 weeks, about 3 weeks later when it's fighting.
I've got a date confirmed, but I'm just not allowed to speak about it.
Yeah.
Right. Talk about it after this. Nice. So, moving forward with the gyms and the future. So, let's say you have 3-4 more fights. You get out of boxing what you want to get out of boxing. That and then you and Bobby going to just take over Blackpool with the fitness industry or what?
Yeah.
How's that going to look?
Yeah, my retirement plan's been working for about 3 years. Everybody knows that I raise pigeons. I keep raising pigeons, don't I? So that's what I'm going to do when I retire.
Right.
And if you don't know about raising pigeons, you're going to think I'm talking German. But that's going to be my retirement, raising pigeons.
Yeah.
Because there's massive, massive money to be.
He was just telling us the other day, someone sold a pigeon for what was it?
2,300,000 euros
for one pigeon.
For one pigeon, yeah.
What the fuck?
How mad is that?
Is it like the fastest pigeon in the world?
Well, it's obviously very good, isn't it? But pigeon racing's gone that far now. I mean, there's a race in South Africa. Yeah. If you win it, you get $1 million.
Shit.
You know, it's kind of gone through the roof, and people are selling pigeons week in, week out, and earning money and making money. So, and it's been my hobby. I mean, I've kept pigeons since I was 8.
Yeah.
I've kept pigeons since I was 8 years old, and I've raced them competitively for the last 20 odd years. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But the last couple of years, I've been busy. Do you know what I mean? So I've not been able to do what I want to do. So I've put a team of pigeons together that I think when I retire, they're going to be great. You know what I mean?
I know what I'm going to do after finish with this PT stuff. Then if I
go and build a shed,
I'm going to go and live in South Africa.
Everyone says I'm going to go and build a shed. But I mean, the money's for you know. But like I'm saying, but there again, you're going to have to use social media now, because there's loads and loads of stuff on Facebook for pigeons now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff for anything, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's mad. So I'm learning stuff off you and him and you, Glenn, and I'm going to use it all when I get back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The pigeon man on social media, on Instagram.
But have a look on Facebook. You won't believe it.
No, I mean, I'm not going to spend my spare time looking at pigeons on Facebook.
you would do if you thought you were getting £1 million for one, wouldn't you, Jack?
Oh, I would.
Hey?
I would.
Sarah will be devastated when you build a shed on the veranda.
What about you, Brian? Is that something you're not really thinking about right now, because you've just come
for the pigeons?
Not the pigeons. The like the life after.
No, of course I'm thinking about it, because I've thought about it. You know, I basically retired, didn't I? Like I didn't quite say I'd quit, but I didn't know what to do. I got married. Like Bobby said, I got married. I went on a couple of stag do's. I enjoyed myself. I've been, you know, how long I've been boxing. You know, I started boxing when I was 9. I had my first fight when I was 11, and I can't remember.
Drinking cans of beer at home, weren't you, son?
Yeah, I was loving life. I was loving life, and I've never had that time out the ring. So it was nice to have a break from it. And as I said, I won't be doing it for much longer.
Right.
So I am thinking about life after boxing.
Yeah. Do you? I shouldn't really see this to a fighter who's current fighter.
Here we go again.
I know.
I feel like punching his head in.
Yeah, do you want to sit here?
I could now as well. I seen him on the body without blowing out of his arse the other day.
It was bad, wasn't it, Brian? Wasn't it bad?
Wow. You just got to avoid him for 30 seconds.
The question was, is, do you, two questions. One, two, do you think about the damage that boxing's done to your brain? And two, do you feel the effects of what boxing's done to your brain?
Yeah, I get a little bit paranoid sometimes. You know, if I'm very forgetful. I don't know if you're forgetful.
Yeah, I am.
But
boxing's not done that to you, son. You two have been loud.
But I'm constantly getting stick off and miss. It's like, how can you possibly forget? I can literally go to the shop for a bottle of Diet Coke and come back with a fucking loaf of bread.
Just stop a minute.
To liberty.
Listen, let me tell you, Glenn, let me tell you this story, right? Let me just listen to this. When them two was living with me, right?
Here we go.
From Asda, you could buy two chickens for a tenner.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what was eating, chicken and all that. So I said to him one day, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm waiting for Jaffa. He's coming out to pick me up. we go to Asda. I said, yeah. So I give him a tenner. I said, get two chickens from Asda. He said, right. Anyway, he comes to pick him up. They get in the car. They go away. And he comes back from Asda with some, with no chickens and something ridiculous, like a lead for the phone or something like that. And I went, where's the chickens? He went, oh, fucking hell. I went, what? He went, I've got, he said, when I've got in the car, I had Jaffa's tracksuit bottoms on, and I said to Jaffa, Jaffa said, they're my tracky bottoms, and he went, oh, this must be your tenner then. Give him the fucking tenner. Boxing's not done that to him, don't would it? It's always been bad. Remember when iPhones first come out?
Yeah.
Right. So he had a BlackBerry phone, and then he got a new iPhone. So he sat in my front room watching, and I'm watching the telly, and I'm watching him. Because it was always funny to watch what he was doing. Anyway.
What does that mean?
He sent he's
just sitting buzz off me.
Yeah. So he's sending, he's going, because he's going like that, no, like that to me with his iPhone, because that new iPhone and all that. Right, nice one, well done.
He gets jealous a lot, doesn't he?
So anyway, he starts sending pictures from his BlackBerry to his iPhone. So we sat there, like, and his iPhone goes beep, 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 beep. He went, fucking don't believe it. I went, what? He went, someone's sending messages.
I did, yeah. Oh, my God. Wait. I knew I should have come on here.
That answers the question.
He was terrible.
You know when he first came to train with me, Tony, right, Glenn? He said to me, Brian said, wait till you meet this Tony Jeffries, because I'd never met him then.
I don't
the
know.
The most organised person you'll ever meet.
I just wanted you to take him on as a fighter.
When he's the most organised person you'll ever meet. Right, listen to this. Yeah, so I'm outside the gym. He pulls up in this car, and when he opens the car door, blankets and pillars and water bottles and all that was falling out of the car. It just looked like he was living in the car.
Well, what happened? I was training with Joe Gallagher for my first pro fight. That fell through. Like, I left him for whatever reason. And I told Kelly Maloney, Frank, I says, Frank, I'm not with this trainer anymore. I need another trainer, blah, 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 for whatever reason. And he went, all right, well, there's a guy in London come down here and train with this fella. So I drove, so I got all my shit, I was stopping with Frankie Gavin in my car. I drove to London and I trained. Can you remember the name of that trainer? I can't remember the name of that trainer.
No.
So I trained with this one trainer.
Was it Joe Dunbar? Was it him? No.
It was a boxing trainer.
Oh, right, okay.
And I trained with him, and it was just like, I didn't want to be in London around London lads and all. Anyway, so I stopped at Frank's that night, me and Frank in his house.
Did you?
Stop and sell.
Frank, if you don't know, is a boxing promoter. He's now goes by the name of Kelly. He's in the bird now. So and then
he looks really well as well.
I was texting Brian and I was like, I need a coach. And he's like, Bobby's the man and all that. So I drove back up to Manchester and worked with Bobby for the first time. It was really, really good. And I spoke about this on the. And I'm sure Brian, you'll vouch for this. Like, I spoke about this on the previous podcast. Was it the previous podcast that I did with Bobby, and talking about how what I love about Bobby is how his work ethic, like he grafts, he gets the mitts on, he'll wrap your hands every session. And last time Bobby was on the podcast, you had a little tiff, a lover's tiff, and you'd left and you went with other trainers, right?
Did he slag me off?
No. Never slagged it off, you
fucking
dick.
I bet he did, but not on the mic.
No, the thing is, he never. I would tell you.
What?
I would tell you.
Do you want me to slag it off? Because I can if you want, if you really want me to do it.
I bet he fucking did.
He didn't, but I'm sure, obviously, you've went around, worked with other trainers. I don't know who you work with, but I've seen you working with some or whatever. But now you've come out with Bobby, so that just shows, like.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's the click with Bobby as well. He's like my second dad, you know. He doesn't just give me boxing advice and train me. He helps me mentally as well, you know. When I've had that last fight with his son Robert, you know, at Phoenix camp, that's who I trained with the last fight, and he was in my corner and I was constantly looking for him. Yeah,
and I wasn't saying anything
because Robert was jumping in the ring and giving me the advice, which and let's have it right, he'll be a really good trainer, he really will be a good trainer, but I just will never be able to train with someone else.
Great things out, Robert.
I was going to other trainers and I was trying to change my style. it's in me now. You know, I'll never be able to change my style.
Yeah.
If you get me fit, that's all I need. You know, just get me fit.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing about being fighting for so long. You can't really change your style. You can maybe change a habit, which is dropping your left hand every time you're throwing the jab.
Exactly.
But that takes a long time to just do something small like that now.
Brian's always going to been a great boxer with a great left jab. And for some reason, he started not dropping his hands, but wanting to fight all the time, and that's not him.
Yeah, I was planting my feet.
That's not him. He's better off using the jab, working, and not getting it.
Right.
That's what I don't want him to do. I don't want him to get it. Obviously, it's not a tickling contest. You're going to get it. But I don't want him getting it when he don't need to get it, like he was doing. So, you know, we're going to put it right this time. And if I can get the old Brian Rose back, I'll be happy.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I wish you nothing but success.
Are you sure?
I fucking love you, mate.
I love you too.
I love you. No, the reason I'm talking like this is because I care about you.
No, people are interested as well, so it's good to brush up.
I mean, you've really gone into this brain stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
And really gone into it, and really. So you know more than us. It's probably better off we don't know as much as you.
Right.
Listen, Jeff, give me a figure and I'll retire.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense that
I'll clean your floors
as much as you? Do you know what I mean?
Then you'll never know.
What's that?
Then you'll never know.
No.
Yeah, but money talks.
You've just said you weren't fighting for money.
No. Just contradicting myself.
No, I really wish you all the best, whatever you do, and I'm here for you to help you with your business crew, your gym and all that. And obviously, Bobby, you're my fucking boy. Yeah. I love you.
Thank you. Same here.
I wish you nothing but success as well.
Yeah. If we can have half of the success that you're having over there, we'll be doing okay.
Mate, the thing is, though, again, it comes down to social media. People are like, Tony, you're killing it. I mean, I'm doing all right. But, Tony, you're killing it. And that comes down to social media. Glenn, you're not all about that.
People
will
be ill. I'm not really successful, and I can't even afford anything. My bank account's empty.
People will be sick of the sight of looking at my posts and all that. You watch.
No, good. That's what you're posting. As long as you're posting the right content, it'll be good. But yes, boys, thank you for coming on. Bobby, where can people find you?
At Brian Rose's gym, BR Boxing and Fitness.
On social media. People who live in Los Angeles.
Okay. At Bobby the Coach. On Twitter, innit?
Oh, wait, mate, you need to step this game up. Brian, what's your social media?
Brian_Lion_Rose.
Follow me. Twitter, Instagram.
Do you not think you're a bit old to be calling yourself a lion anymore?
If you follow Brian,
when I retire, I'll change that.
Oh, so another thing, before we go, you're talking about social media, what I want to talk to you, I googled you before we came out here, and there's a podcaster called Brian Rose from London Real.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And he's like the top boy on Google for when you type in Brian Rose. So you need to really step your SEO up and be above him.
See, I don't know how to do that.
Your SEO, your search engine optimization on Google to help you rank higher.
See, you need to help me with this stuff.
I can't even say that, Jeff, to be fair.
Leave it or not. I probably said it wrong. But yeah, so we can help you with that. All right, boys. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to the Boxing Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you watched it. And until next time, we'll see you later.